You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's go to the podium now and hear from the Browns defensive coordinator, Jim O'Neill.
All right, I'm excited about Sunday. It's been a long off season. I think our coaching staff's worked really hard. I think our players have worked really hard. I'm excited to get out there on Sunday and compete in a game that really matters and see where we're at as a defense. Questions? I think first and foremost, we always talk about stopping the run, okay? And then, we always talk about getting turnovers. You know, if you win the turnover battle, your chances of winning the game go way up. And then we got to affect the quarterback. He is a hard quarterback to sack, but you can affect him in more ways than just sacking him. So I think that those are the three keys for us.
What was your grade on Kruger for last year and what do you expect of him this year?
Say that again?
Your grade on Kruger for last year and what you expect of him with this year's
change? I thought Paul had a really good year rushing the quarterback. I think Paul was inconsistent at times in the run game. I think he's done a great job, though, throughout the offseason and training camp, improving his technique on the edge. And I think he's going to be one of the reasons we're going to be better against the run this year.
There's been some talk initially that when Geno Smith was knocked out of the game, that was bad for the Browns because Fitzpatrick is a better player, knows the system better. What are your feelings on Fitzpatrick in that
situation? Well, I feel like I've gone against Fitzpatrick a bunch. I mean, I was at the University of Pennsylvania in 2002, and he was the quarterback at Harvard. I think we went against him 8 times when I was with the Jets. So we've seen him a bunch. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he can make plays with the ball above his shoulder, and I think he can make plays with the ball below his shoulder when things break down and he has to use his feet. I think he's smart. He's an extension, obviously, of their offensive coordinator. He knows that system. It was a very effective system when Coach Gailey was up in Buffalo. So, Geno, I haven't really studied. You know, the last time I saw him was when I was in Buffalo 2 years ago and we played him. So it'd probably be unfair for me to compare the two right now.
With those quick-release quarterbacks, does that ever get frustrating, or do you understand in advance that it's a quick-release quarterback and you have to approach it a certain way?
For us defensively, a lot of quarterbacks usually get the ball out a little bit quicker than what they normally do. So I think it's something our guys up front are used to. And that's why we don't get caught up in the sack numbers and that kind of stuff. As long as we're affecting the quarterback, we're affecting the passing game. Whether it's getting him off his spot, whether it's hitting him as he's throwing it, whether it's tipping a ball, that's all stuff that can change a game. I'm confident in our ability right now against the run. So I thought we did a pretty good job with our guys that were out there. You know, there were a couple plays, I think, you know, some missed tackles that obviously we'd like to have back. But, I thought we showed great improvement in the run game throughout the preseason.
What do you know now about Danny Shelton that you didn't know just watching him on film in Washington?
Probably the personality. I think the player we recognized off of tape, you know, we knew he was going to be a force in the run game. We knew he could be a player that could push the pocket. I think just his personality and the energy he brings to the defensive huddle is special.
We saw him, like, when you guys were scrimmaging in Buffalo, he was, like, one of the first couple guys on the field for both of those practices. We don't usually get out there early enough. Was he that way in training camp, too?
Yes. I think that – you know, and you guys hear it all the time, you know, play like a Brown. You want guys that love football, and they want to take as many reps. They want more reps than you're going to give them. They want to stay after practice and do extra individual work or get out there early and do extra stuff. I mean, that when you see that from a young kid like Danny, it's so encouraging. I mean, and it's infectious to all the other guys because especially if he's having success. You know, that's what you want. Those are the guys you want to build your program around.
That's true. He was
yes, absolutely.
Along those lines, is he a more disciplined disciplined player on the field than you thought he would be, especially for a rookie? Is he kind of ahead of the curve in terms of, you know, staying true to the assignment, et cetera?
He's done a nice job executing his job, you know, within the scheme. He does have some flexibility because, you know, we don't talk as much as gap control as some defenses. So, you know, there's two levels of defense behind him. You know, he's a big old guy that every once in a while you want to let him roll off and see if he can cut a play in half or cause some penetration and wreck it in the backfield. But, no, he's done – his discipline's been really good.
So you'll let him freelance a little bit?
Not freelance, but, you know, he's got some room to operate in those two A gaps there.
You don't think about, but every Browns fan is aware that Barkevious Mingo was the number 6 overall pick and would like something big out of him. What's coming for him this year?
Mingo's going to be a big part of what we do defensively. He's going to be part of a rotation and base defense at Sam Backer, and he's going to help us in our sub packages.
The Jets have some big names in the secondary and a familiar face of Buster. Where do you think your guys, I know we talked about it in the offseason, but where do you think they compare to the Jets secondary?
I know the names in the Jets secondary. I'd be lying if I tried to compare them because I haven't watched them play together. I mean, I think that when you start talking about secondaries, it's how well guys can play together, chemistry, all that. I'm glad that all of our guys are back. They're healthy. I'm excited about that group. You know, it is going to be the backbone of our defense. And I think we're going to be pretty good down back there. I do. So, but I haven't seen them play one play together. But I know they have some good players. You know, I was there with Revis. I was there with Crow. Obviously, Buster was here last year. I love all three of those guys. So,
what makes Brandon Marshall a challenge, and are you looking forward to seeing Joe Hayden go against him?
He's big, he's physical, he's got great hands. The quarterback's going to get him the ball. You know, their offense will get you in a lot of one-on-one type situations with him. That's what Chan's always done. He's done a good job of that. He likes to play one-on-one football. Joe will obviously be against them some. A lot of our guys will have a chance to go against them. So I am looking forward to that matchup. It'll let us know where we're at that position.
Jim, what's still concerned you about Justin Gilbert?
Right now, just him getting healthy. Getting back to 100%. I know he's done a great job in the training room. He was able to come out and practice with us yesterday. He did a good job at practice. So just got to keep going.
Gains to put him on the short-term IR where you can bring him back. Obviously, you can only do that with one player. What did you see over those last couple of weeks? I think you were even in here mentioning that he was one of those guys that was starting to make strides that gives you encouragement that when he gets back, he's going to be able to contribute.
He's got position flexibility, so he can play outside corner and inside, which is huge in our scheme because you only have so many guys up on game day. And you know, if you're a guy where if you get an injury outside, you can go fill that role, or you get an injury inside, you can go fill that role. That's big for us. I think he's got good man coverage ability. He's got good zone instincts underneath. He can blitz. You know, I think Jeff Hafley, Bobby Babich, and Aaron Glenn did a great job identifying him on college tape. It's a guy that they went and worked out. They liked the player. We liked him as camp got going. I thought he had a really good end of the offseason. Struggled a little bit in the beginning of training camp and then really came on the past couple weeks. I think he'd be if he was healthy, he'd be a guy that we'd be scheming some stuff up for. I think he's that kind of player. So I'll be excited when we get him back off of short-term IR.
Before Justin had the hip flexor, what were you seeing from him this summer in the time that he went in there for, you know, Pierre and Joe while they were out for a while? What were you seeing based on what you saw, what do you think he's going to be able to do for you when he gets back from this injury?
I thought he had some good days at training camp. He had some days where he obviously struggled a little bit, but I think he had more good days than days that he struggled. So I think that there's been he's grown a lot from where he was, you know, the previous year. I've said it a million times, that position takes time, you know, and he's just. You got to get out there and play football.
Jim, we saw him drafted at Camp Walters. Plays run pretty, because that box plays run pretty well. What have you seen that? Have you seen more?
Of Campbell, yeah. His ability to play the pass, is that what you're asking me?
We were told he was a good run stopper.
Yeah, I think he's a great tackler. I think he is. I think he takes great angles to the football. He's physical. He can tackle. When we watched him on college tape, because of how they played in their defensive scheme, it was a lot of quarters flat-footed at 10 yards. We had the same concerns. Coach Halfley went and worked him out. We put him through a lot of range drills. We were very happy with what we saw. I do think he has the ability to play the deep half, the post, the inside quarter, while coming down and still supporting the run. So I think he's a complete safety. That's why we drafted him. Well, it was a little frustrating because we weren't out there as much as I would have liked altogether. But, you know, just the buy-in, you know, the buy-in with the scheme, the buy-in with the techniques, all how it takes all 11 to stop the run. And you know, everybody's going to have their chance to make plays. You don't need to break structure. Just do your job. Good things will happen. And those guys have bought in. They brought energy every day to the meeting room, to the practice field, and they're fun to be around. So, you know, I wouldn't trade anybody in that room for anybody else in this league. I love them all. He's probably our most improved player. If you went back from the moment the Baltimore Ravens game ended last year to whenever they cut down to the 53, he made great strides as far as a run stopper. And then where I saw great improvement was his ability to rush the quarterback. I mean, he's a guy that can really push the pocket and get the quarterback off his spot.
Jim, what kind of impact do you think Cooper and Orchard can have right away as pass rushers?
I think that they both can have an impact. You know, I think that, you know, obviously we saw good things from Xavier in the preseason. He had some numbers that showed in the stat sheet with Nate. He was like right there a bunch of times, so the stats really didn't show up. It was great to get Nate back out of practice the other day. So, you know, I'm excited about both those guys.
How does it change things that Phil Taylor, was a former first-round pick who played well against Cincinnati, missed that about Phil's positive, but isn't here anymore, and now you're going forward with that?
I feel great about our D-line group.
Who's going to make up for that kind of potential talent production?
Jamie Meter, Randy Starks, our number 12 overall pick. There's three or four guys. I feel good about the group.
That was defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill, confident headed into week one against the Jets. And one part of this matchup that I think is very interesting to watch, I think this game will come down to who can convert more in the red zone. Last year, the red zone offense of the Jets was 32nd in the National Football League. The red zone defense of the Browns was the fifth best. The Jets' red zone defense was actually 25th. So if the Browns can convert a couple of those red zone trips into touchdowns.
I like the height differential. Terrell Pryor, Dwayne Bowe, much larger than Darrell Revis. Could be a matchup we like down there.
I hope so. You might be the only person in America that might make that statement.
Hey, man, 6'5 versus 5'11. I'll take that all day.
You'll take it all day long. All right, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, finish out our first hour. 216-578-0850. Call now. We broke down the offensive matchup still to come. We're going to hear from the offensive coordinator of the Browns, John DeFilippo. We'll also get into the defensive matchups and take your phone calls, as I said. 216-578-0850. Call us up now on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.